Hey everyone, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm on the Wilder Network. You miss a show here, you miss quite a lot. We always try to have a great show for you, always wonderful and knowledgeable guests right here whenever I can get them. And even if I'm flying solo, it is always, this show is always fun, it's always exciting, and it's always informative. Once again, welcome to the show. Grab your family, grab your friends, sit back and relax, and let me do all the work. Once again, welcome to the show. Have fun, everyone. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here. Enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Oh, thank you for... I'm laughing. Can I? Something's just so funny sometimes. I do a lot of... try to make the show interesting, try to make it fun, try to make it... what's happening now, even though I know there's a lot of other radio shows out there that I'm competing with, just like an author, if you write a book, there's so many books that you're out there competing with. This is George Wilder Jr., and this is my show, the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. If you can't, this is Saturday, okay, and I know a lot of people are not going to be sitting around listening to the radio because you're going to be out doing other things. This is the weekend. And in Chicago, the weather is so nice, and I hope it's very, very nice where you are, okay? But it's beautiful out here. Like I said before, like I'm always saying, I'm sitting in my studio looking out on a boulevard here, and I'm seeing people going here, there, taking care of their business. But they're not wearing coats, they're not wearing gloves, they're not wearing earmuffs. They're wearing shorts and leggings and things of that sort. That tells me that it's really, really nice out there. My son is out there somewhere. I'm playing around. I'm hoping he's safe and with his friends, his trusted friends, I hope. As a parent, you always worry about your kids if they're not in the house. But you know what? You can't keep them in the house. These kids are growing. They're maturing. They want to get out and have fun, hang out with their other friends and peers. And you know, you can't do that. Even sometimes I want to say, whoa, the crime is escalating. This is this and that is happening. There's so much going on that's wrong out in the streets. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in because crime can happen anywhere to anyone at any time. But we live in a pretty, pretty nice area. But still and all, we don't want to let our guards down. So he's out there somewhere having a great time, enjoying the weather, and I'm hoping he's enjoying the weather with some good friends of his, especially his school peers. So anyway, this is George Wilder Jr. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago, and it's beautiful. Sun is out today. I mean, hey, wow. I can't complain. Because a few days ago, they were saying tornadoes and stuff like that was going to touch down in the city of Chicago. That didn't happen, but in some of the surrounding suburbs, smaller towns, I bet you hear the fire truck, right? But some had really some bad weather. The tornadoes really, really, really hit, you know. And the aftermath photos, I got some photos here. Widespread devastation after tornado tears through northern Illinois. At least two people died and nearly a dozen others injured after a tornado touched down in northern Illinois on Thursday evening. And some of the pictures, they're just so, I mean, you know, the towns have just been totally destroyed, totally demolished, you know. So, you know, we've really had some bad weather here, you know, but it wasn't as bad as they said it was going to be in the city of Chicago. Okay, we're talking about dozens of homes were damaged. At least one school remains closed, and two animals were killed at a local zoo. We're talking about in the community of Fairdale, Illinois, and also the community of Kirkland and Ashton. These are all little towns, small towns in the state of Illinois. The Red Cross has opened shelters near the towns of Rochelle and the communities of Fairdale, Kirkland, and Ashton, which were among the hardest hit by the storm. Rescue crews are now sifting through the damage as local residents begin to rebuild their homes. That's something when you lose everything. A tornado come through your town and you just lose everything, all your mentals, memories, and all this kind of stuff is damaged, and you'll never get that stuff again. And at least some of the stuff you'll never get. Some of it you can retrieve again probably through insurance and stuff like that, unless you have some other things, some other way of getting those mentals again, you know, those memories. Okay, if you like to help the communities, Several GoFundMe pages have set up other organizations, and other organizations are accepting donations to aid the recovery efforts. Officials are encouraging volunteers to stay away from the damage at this time. Kirkland Community and Fire Department District Chief, you know, told the Chicago Tribune, although they mean well, we would like for them to stay off site. He said, do not come out here to help us. We have a plan here set in place, and we need to stick to it. Of course, you don't want a lot of people coming out there, especially when you're trying to, you know, clean up the area, trying to collect whatever mementos, furniture, or memories that can be saved, you know, or salvaged, you know. So it's always devastating here, and I'm looking at some photographs here, and they're very, very vivid. They're very, very crisp, and you can see how devastating the towns are. I mean, some of these towns have been flattened, you know, and it's heartbreaking. It's totally heartbreaking. Okay, all right, here. Wow, here's another image where cars and homes are just smashed up, torn apart, thrown about, you know. These tornadoes, they have no soul. You know, there's no soul. Just more debris after debris after debris. There's one lady with a something tied around her head. She's grabbing her guitar, her acoustic guitar. I guess that was one of her memories that she's kind of salvaged. Maybe that's all she have. Salvaged. Maybe that's all she have, just that guitar. But that's something, you know, that's something. And you have to pray for the people. And you see the rescue workers. They're cleaning up the debris. Maybe trying to, they could be trying to look for bodies or something like that. And the debris and stuff like that. The towns were just devastated. They were just devastated. But like I said before, they had broadcast tornadoes for the city of Chicago. And we were waiting. Well, we weren't waiting on the tornadoes. We were kind of expecting them, but they never showed up. In the surrounding areas, the suburbs, some of the suburbs, not all of them, but some of the small towns were really, really devastated by tornadoes. And we sent out our prayers to those people. You know, stuff like that. Okay, all right. This is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Glad you're here. Glad you're there. Thanks for listening. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. Sunshine. People are out and about. I should be out and about, but I got a show to do. So I'm still here. I'm going to be here because I love what I do. I really love what I do. I love it all the time, and I love being a part of it. I love you being a part of it. I love you listening. I love you podcasting the show, downloading it. When you can't, you know, if you can't get to the radio, you can always download it. You can always record it. The shows are always recorded. So you, once you do a show, if you're on a show, the show is yours forever. You can always embed it into your blog or your website. You can have it for your friends and fans to listen to. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and it is so great. I guess you can tell by the sound of my voice that I feel good. I got to try to feel good. You can't be negative. You got to be positive, you know? You be positive, positive things will happen. You're negative, negative things will happen. Okay, I see I have a caller on the line. It may be the author. Let's see. Let's check it out, all right? Here we go. If I can get over here to the screen.
Okay.
All right. Okay, you're live with George Wilder Jr. How can I help you?
Hi, yeah, this is your author, Sherry Popape. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. It's nice to hear your voice. It's
yeah,
great.
Nice to hear voice of you, too, instead of just pictures all the time, right?
How's the weather there?
It's beautiful today. We just had wind in Rockford. Rockford seems to have a force field. I've lived here 31 years almost, and I've never had a tornado in Rockford. It's always cities on the outskirts and everything. So it's really, really amazing and sad to see what, you know, all the destruction from what they do. So.
Oh yeah, it's just sad. Your heart just have to go out to these people, you know. But like
right,
I said, I'm
right.
in Chicago. I'm in Chicago, and they said. They were saying tornadoes were going to touch down here. And they were telling us to go to the bathroom or the basement and stuff like that. Somehow it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
No.
I guess we just missed it.
Yeah.
And
they've got a mind of their own, you know.
Yeah. Hey, it's nice talking to you. You have a great voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So do you. And you wanted me to... read an excerpt of my book, just a page excerpt, maybe.
Yeah, we can do that. But for now, I just want to, like, you know, introduce you to the audience, let the audience know who you are and some about your bio and stuff like that. I'm gonna read that for the audience.
Go right ahead.
Okay?
Sure. Yes.
So share. Okay, this is for my audience. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and my guest is Sherry Popape. Though Sherry Popape has written many internet articles about people in the arts and in the history. Cassie's Marvelous Music Lessons is one of the author's first children's book. She has also been director, educator of Pape Conservatory of Music. For the past 35 years, each day she warms up the piano and for 14 of those years, a small dog has been her constant companion. In recent years, little Cassie has stood on the right side of the keyboard and brushed the author's hands off the keys, a habit that inspired the story. The author is a graduate of Northern Illinois University, where she studied music, English, and theater. She lives with her family in Northern Illinois, where she continues to write and teach music alongside Cassie. Cassie Marvelous Music Lessons received a 2013 Midwest Publishing Awards Show Award, was covered in the May, June, and July-August 2014 editions of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators magazine, and the book was received as an official baptism gift from Prince George and from Prince William and Princess Kate. Wow, that's something.
Yeah, it did pretty good for kicking off there. So there's going to be some sequels. The dog is fully active in all kinds of areas of life. And so starting on the first sequel, starting in the summer, and I'm looking forward to that. I love the writing part of it. I've been doing a lot of with publicists and everything, social media marketing, but the real fun of it is getting to write and everything. So which I could... read a copy of the one page on this if you'd like, whenever you're ready. So
okay, I would like to ask you, how long have you been writing?
I've been writing on and off since 1984, and I didn't really get serious about it until 7 years ago. I had gone through the bachelor's degree, and then I did basic and graduate certificates in writing for children through the Institute of Children's Literature. And then when I sent a manuscript in after, I had Emma Walton Hamilton, who is the she's a writer herself, but she does editing services. And she's the daughter of Julie Andrews. She looked over my manuscript and told me, just gave me opinions and this and that, and I polished it up. And you know, a few months later, I got a letter in the mail that said this is a really interesting story, and the contract was in there.
Wow.
So it worked out pretty good. So I'm enjoying myself doing this. Yeah. So I do a lot of a lot of visits to schools and private and public and institutions, and I've done other TV and radio, and you name it, I've been there. So I actually got one coming up on Tuesday. It's very busy,
Yeah, busy. I mean, when you got a good book like this, a good children's book, you got to keep it busy. You got to get the word out about it, and you got to get yourself out there and let people know about it, you know?
Right.
And that's what you're doing.
So, yeah, I've met a lot of nice people.
Yeah, yeah. When did you discover that you wanted to do children's books instead of the other kind?
Other kind, just appealed to me right off the bat, and that's why I decided to go into that. I had the bachelor's degree, I had a lot of short story novel and writing for children, and I just thought after the bachelor's degree, what did I really enjoy out of my bachelor's degree the most, and it was, you know, writing for children, so I wanted to get more experience with that, so I went through those programs, and that helped a lot, and in the fall, I'm going to probably do the London School of Journalism. They have a writing for children's program, which you do through, obviously, online and everything. And I'm looking forward to that because that, you know, you get ahead in the children's writing, but it's also a little bit of a review in there too. So,
will some of your children's books be based on some things that happened in your childhood?
Probably not. It's just the dog has given me so many different experiences and everything that I did a lot of writing when I was a child. I would, you know, write stories, illustrate them, staple up into little books. I did a lot of that growing up. So I guess it's just kind of a delayed reaction to want to do it at a later time. And I really enjoy the writing and everything. I have a very vivid imagination for writing children's books. So.
Yeah, I kind of agree. You do have to enjoy what you write, because if you enjoy your writing, other people, readers, when they pick up a copy, they're going to enjoy it also.
Right,
because
and
the author
little,
enjoyed writing.
Right, it's a little different too than when we were maybe growing up. That it's a little bit more fast paced, technological kind of thing. But you got to get a little of that into your story. But you still want to keep the appropriate age group, age 3 to 7. You don't want to be, it's too overwhelming, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Did you have much input on the illustrations?
Yes, I did. It took actually a year and a half before the book came out. Mm-hmm. We were back and forth illustrating. They would send me something, and I would approve it or disapprove it, you know, and send it back. So it took a year and a half. And like I've told people before, when I first saw the cover, a hard cover of it, it kind of was surreal because the Mrs. Applebaum looks just like me in the book, throughout the book. So seeing yourself in cartoon form was quite amazing, you know. So,
that is amazing.
Yeah, and the dog.
And it's also.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
The dog, it was just changed a little bit than my original dog, the white schnauzer here, because there was a movie out, The Adventures of Tintin, within the last year before that, and it looked too much like the real dog here, you know, so they just kind of made it kind of a dog illustration that the dog is kind of had been homeless and was adopted by Mrs. Applebaum in the book. So, and then the second book will be a little bit more cleaned up dog that looks closer to the original, you know, real dog. So
the second book would be a sequel.
It's a sequel, yeah. It's probably about 3 sequels that I've got ideas about for put her in it, you know, all these kind of escapades and such. So, you know, it'll be a lot of fun to do those.
My next question would be, where do you get your ideas?
Where do I get my ideas? Well, With the dog, I've got a total of, with the book that's out right now and then three sequels, that's mm-hmm. the Cassie edition. Then I've got about six other ideas, and they come to me, or to some, you know, I run a music school, something cute a little child might do, you know, or say.
I keep a
little diary of that, a little journal. In total, I've got about 10 books eventually that I will get out there. And the first four will be the Cassie, but the other ones will be totally different stories and children's poetry. So.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. Okay, now you can read an excerpt.
All right. I'll just read you one page. Not quite,
okay,
Cassie thought. I must make an impression of Mrs. Applebaum. She ran across the room, running back and forth to the piano, barking all the way. She wagged her tail and barked some more. Then she jumped up onto the piano bench and hit the keys, howling a little tune. That's my excerpt, so I'm just short and sweet.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, is that okay? Tune in tomorrow, get the book, and find out what happens after that, you know.
Okay. So. All right. No problem. If that's it, because you know what, I was sitting here. I was kind of relaxing. I said, I know this is going to be kind of a page or two.
Just a page. So you know,
okay.
Being children's picture books, there's only so much on each page, so they keep their attention, right? So
it's a short book.
Right. And the next ones though will be. This is a hardcover. The next ones will also be. They will be soft cover, just to. Changed a little bit up there. So, and the book is on sale right now through Barnes & Noble and Amazon. I mean, at a sale price. Mm-hmm. So, anyone's interested, mm-hmm. please spread the word and, you know, you can
okay,
head out
we'll
here.
Get to that, all right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, we'll get to that. Okay.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the title? I mean, the title is intriguing. How did you come up with that?
Well, Cassie's Marvelous Music Lessons. It's about a dog that mm-hmm. thinks they can teach the piano lessons a little bit better than a human counterpart. So as I was taught, you don't want to have too long of a title for a children's book. So I just flowed along, and then it appeared, you know, it just hits me.
It just
right out of me.
For you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Cassie. Okay.
Yeah, Cassie's Marvelous Music Lessons. In the book, she calls herself the Magical Musical Mutt. So
okay, all right. Who were your favorite characters from your childhood days? I mean, who was your favorite?
When I was growing up?
Well,
let's see. I liked Hans Christian Andersen's the book called The Snow Queen.
I like him, too.
When I got a little older, I liked The Boxcar Children, which were the older books, not my generation, but they were still popular, and we read those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
There was one called Meg that was a girl detective. I liked some of the big Disney books that they had that was over, like Sleeping Beauty or Peter Pan, and they still sell them, you know, brightly colored inside and things like that. I love stuff like that. So, that's pretty much about it. And I love biographies later, too. So
some of the stuff that you, back in the day in your childhood, inspire you today to write?
I believe so. Yes, it does. You know, and they also... Mm-hmm. They have a PhD program online that's for Roehampton University, and it's just analyzing children's books from different categories and periods and all that. And I do really do, I think, by studying something like that, whoever does a PhD program, that will really bring them forward in their writing, too. So, you bet.
Yeah, do you have morals in your stories?
I have morals. I don't have it where it's, you know, they taught you don't ram it down the child's throat. Yeah, they're good morals. There's sensibility. There's, you know, compromise. There's comical things in there, you know, and it's a lot of fun book, and it's brightly illustrated. I'm trying to look at the family Christian bookstores to get it in there. It's not religion to it, but it's good moral values. Hidden, you know, not right out there. So, I mean, for example, the dog. Yeah, the dog is adopted from somewhere. She's not in real good shape. If you see one of the pictures, the teeth are kind of over to the side, a little bit sticking out when the mouth closes. It's not a perfect dog. The lady takes her in. She tries to work with her. Then the dog tries to take over. Eventually, there's compromise. But it's sensible things, and it's... It makes a little play on nursery school songs, you know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But, you know, instead of I have to look it up here again. Let's see here. Let me look for you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
They make a play on nursery school songs such as.
Okay.
Let's see here. Twinkle Twinkle Little Bone. And Bow Wow Black Dog, and little you know, play-ons like that changes them a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, make it a little more fun. And, you know, some of the students in the book, I were inspired by some of my actual students. So,
oh, okay.
It's kind of neat that way, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
What can readers do who enjoy your book to make it more successful?
Well, I think after reading, passing it on to parents, mm-hmm. grandparents, aunts, uncles, that it's for ages 3 to 7, you know, just spread the mm-hmm. word. And also, what was I going to say? Because it's not just for ages 3 to 7. You can also use it as an early chapter book. You know, once the child's starting to read, they can use that way and everything. So sorry about the sound in the background. That's my husband's cell phone that he didn't put away, and we're getting an excerpt from a Star Trek phaser at us here. So
okay, no problem.
It's over now.
Okay.
It's gone. So
okay. Do you have any tips? It was funny. Do you have any tips for readers or advice for other writers who want to get into publishing children's books?
Well, like I say, I was looking at a Master's of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. Just get a lot of writing in your bachelor's degree. Sometimes you don't even need that. Mm-hmm. You can do workshops that you find online and sign up with that. You have to be a good writer. You have to be able to get the, you know, learn about the plot, the point of view, the characteristics of the character, the setting. Mm-hmm. You don't need it's good to get a master's degree just to feel, you know, you moved on a little bit, but you can't teach anyone how to write and be creative, you know. So I just recommend go as far as you can in your education and be sure, you know, there's online bachelor's degrees in writing for children and such, I believe. So maybe even, I don't know about associates, but, you know, just look into things, get as much writing as you can. Read a lot. That's a big thing. Read a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
And write a lot daily. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know. Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I always tell people, you know, if you want to write, no matter if you're writing children's books or whatever you're writing, you always keep writing because the more you write, the more you're going to get better at it.
It's true.
Know,
it's a
no
daily thing. You've got to write it down. You've got to write.
It's a daily thing.
Right. It's a daily routine. And whenever you should carry a journal around with you, that something hits you write it down, because later you're in the shower and it's not exactly coming to you in your mind like it was 2 hours before, and you don't get it down the way it really hits you to begin with, you know. So it's best to take
it. That's the way
you know,
I do it.
Right.
That's the way I do it. Whenever something pops into my head, I better go write it down.
because if I don't write it down,
I'm going to surely forget it.
Well,
yeah.
I'm 53 now, so after 50, you know, you really have to write things down. But especially in your journals, you go along the day, something hits you, you write that idea down, and you can refer back to it later. Yes.
Good. Where can people find your book? Tell people where they can go get your book.
Okay, you can go to Barnes & Noble and go online to Amazon.com. Barnes & Noble is not always good about keeping it well-supplied on the shelf, but if you go in person, they can order it for you. You can also order it online, and Amazon.com, of course, online.
Mm-hmm.
If you need also Mayhaven Publishing online, they have books, too, that you can get. That's that kind of third party you would want to get through. But I would recommend Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Okay.
The first two to begin with, they'll be good about it and everything. And I believe the two are on sale online right now, so just a few dollars
that's
off.
Great.
So that's a good thing. Yeah. But and like I say, when you said to spread it along, even to kindergarten teachers, preschool teachers, other teachers nationwide. You know, it's starting to pick up nationwide and everything, and the sales are picking up really good. So
that's
you know,
great. That's
spread
wonderful.
The word, and that'll do it. You know.
Hey, that's what we're doing here, spreading the word, because I think it's a good book. One of the things that captured my attention about the book is was the title, and that's why I asked you to be on the show, because of the title. I thought it was just a marvelous title. And plus, I've had a few music lessons myself, so.
Oh, so you understand.
So I understand, and that's why I wanted you on the show, because myself and my son, we're both into music, and we're both into reading music. We're not really, we're not pros at it, but we do the best we can.
You just enjoy it.
I just
that's
love
the
music.
Main thing. Right. That's what I tell students. Either you're going to major in it or just enjoy it, you know. I mean, you can enjoy majoring in it, but some just don't want to go farther, you know. They just want to learn it and enjoy it for themselves. So,
And you know what? Music is a great thing to major in, a great thing to really be a part of, because it helps you academically.
It sure does.
You know.
It helps with social, helps with science, helps with eye-hand coordination, social skills too, you know. I've had a lot of students. I've been teaching since I was 17 and went to college for it, but I've had a lot of them go on to major in music and everything from music education to music ministry. You name it, you know, they've at least been one in each category. So, you can't go wrong with that. Love of music, that's the way to go.
Yeah. My son is in his high school band, you know. He's in his high school band. He's got a show coming up next Thursday, and I'm going to make sure I be there. And I'm going to tell him about your book.
Oh, great. Well, those are great things. We had our second son was in the band from 5th grade to 12th at a Christian school, and he played trombone, and that was ended last year. And I kind of miss going to those concerts, you know. They were so great, and they were so proud of themselves
every time I go
there.
Every time I go, I have my phone, and I take video of it, and, you know.
I've done that, too.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
It is.
It's wonderful.
Glad you have the videos to be able to do that these days.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else you want to add about your book or anything else you think we should know?
Just spread the word, and, you know, that's the way a lot of it happens for people, you know, and I appreciate all my fans about the book that have already supported me and continue to support me, and keep your eyes out for a second book in the future.
All right. Sherry Pope Faith, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you, George, and thanks for having me, and have a great night.
No problem, and you too. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Sherry Pope on my show. She was talking about her great children's book. I hope you're out there. If you can't listen now, listen later. And listen later, podcast the show. The George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. We'll be right back.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that rousing introduction. We're back. We're back on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, It's a beautiful day. Sun's going down. My clock says 3:36 in Chicago. I hope it's very, very nice, very warm, and very engaging where you are. You know, where you are. This is April. this is my, I believe it's my 63rd show, or the 63rd show. I had my 60th show a couple of days ago. So if you hear that in the archives, when you archive the show, then you'll know what show that you're listening to. You know, so this is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'm still looking and I'm amazed at some of the devastation around the state of Illinois. It's heartbreaking looking at these photographs of destruction the tornadoes did over the weekend a few days back. I mean, this is just heartbreaking to see and to know that people have lost everything. Your heart goes out to them. You have to pray for them and hope everything is. And the first responders are just magnificent. They're in every shape and form. They are trying to help these people regather their whatever. Mentos that they can, whatever they can salvage in all of this destruction. And they're helping these people out enormously. And that's great. And that's what I always say. I applaud people who help people. Because there is nothing like others helping each other. We don't need politicians to tell us to help our neighbor. We're going to help our neighbor because that's what's in our heart, is to help our neighbor. But you get a lot of politicians who see something like this going on and they'll try to take credit for it, you know, so they can try and get votes, you know. So, but this is people helping people out of the spirit of their own hearts, their own pockets, giving, and they're giving people. And people help other people, and that's what it's all about, is helping someone else who needs help. And this tornado thing is just devastating. It really is devastating. Okay, let me move on to something else. Yeah, there's other things going on in the world. So, but not to belittle this or to make it sound menial or anything. No, but this is a great tragedy, what we have with these tornadoes and this bad weather. But you know what? That's what you tornadoes, storms, downpours, you know. And then all of a sudden, after all of that is over, the sun comes out. Go figure. Okay. the weather in Chicago is about 60 degrees. I'm near the lake, and I love it. 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 Okay. Some people, let's go to some people just don't, you know. I mean, some people, you got so many people out here that, just letting life pass them by. They're letting life, and I'm talking about young people, letting life pass them by. When I say young, I'm up there. I don't want to say my age, but I'm up there. But, you know, but you got some people out here that are letting themselves go, you know. Like I said in one video, audio tape, that we all have talent, and I believe that. I believe every man, every woman, every child is endowed with talent. we all have talent, but our talent is not laying on the couch watching TV. That's not talent. Walking around the corner waiting to rob someone, that's not talent. Putting a gun up to somebody's head, that's not talent. You know, I mean, going out, selling your body for money, that's not talent. You know, that's breaking the law. But we all have talent. We just have to reach down into our souls and pull it out. If you don't pull out that talent, if you don't let that talent work for you in a positive way, you're wasting yourself away. You're wasting yourself. You're wasting your talent. You might as okay, I've been reconnected. Had a little technical problem here. I hope you was bearing with me through those technical problems. I've said before, anytime you're doing an internet show, an internet radio show, there's always a possibility of the internet going down. And then if the internet goes down, the radio show goes down. And it was constantly saying I was on the air. Then it was saying I was not connected. Then I had to click a few things, and I'm back on the air. Hopefully, back on the air. Okay, this is George Wilder, Jr. of the George Wilder, Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago on the Wilder Network. This is the internet radio, Blog Talk Radio. So let's see if we can get through this. I hope so. I was talking about people not utilizing their God-given talent, okay? People have to, you have to utilize your talent. You have to go out there and do something with your talent. Do something positive with your talent. Because if you don't do something positive with it, nothing will come out of it. I think, anyway. So, because I see so many people just, they seem like their lives are just wasting away. And these are young people. Don't let your life waste away. And some of these people who are letting their lives waste away are criticizing those who are trying to do something positive with their life. You know, you have to do something positive. God gave you your life. God put you here on earth. He didn't put you on this earth to be a beggar. He didn't put you on this earth to be homeless. He didn't put you on this earth to be ridiculed, bullied, taken advantage of, and not being the best person that you can be. You want something out of life, you have to go out there and get it. Nothing's going to come to you. No one's going to knock on your door and say, hey, I have the greatest job position for you in the world. It's not going to happen. You have to go out and get what you want. I tell my son the same thing. You want something, go out there and get it. You want something, develop the talent, the know-how, the professionalism, and go out there and do it. You have it. You're young. You're bright. You're handsome. You're good. You're strong. You're able-bodied. Do something with your life. And one of the greatest things anybody can do with their life is to help other people who are having problems, negative problems, struggling through no fault of their own. Those are the key words, through no fault of their own. You know, some people out here are just having bad luck. You know, things just aren't going right when they should be going right. Then you have people out here who don't give a damn. They want to be homeless. They want you to give them something for nothing. Those are the kind of people I'm not talking about. The kind of people who want to walk the streets, who want to stand on corners, who thinks it's the greatest thing in the world is to stand on a corner. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who are out here through no fault of their own, but actually I'm talking about developing and nurturing a talent that is within all of us. Everybody has a talent. You can do something great, something positive, something that's going to bring you some positive feedback. You know, do something for somebody. Don't be selfish. But a lot of us, we are not selfish. We see somebody in trouble. If we can help, we're going to help. What about this? I don't know if you've seen this video or not, of this woman jumping on her car because a car thief was stealing her car and driving off. And so she jumped on the hood of the car, and the car was still moving while she was on the hood. And a good Samaritan, this guy, pulled out a gun and shot the guy. The bad guy, he shot the guy. You know, so therefore he saved this woman from being killed, or I believe a woman may have had a child in the back of the car, you know. So there is always help. We see someone in trouble, we are going to help that person. I see someone in trouble, I'm going to try and help. There's many times I have intervened in situations I shouldn't have intervened in, but I just had to. And there are some situations I didn't intervene in that I felt guilty about later that I didn't intervene in, because I am the type of guy that I'm going to help. I'm going to help out, because I feel that's why I've been put on earth, is to help others. But others have to try to help themselves first. You have to try to do it yourself first. You know, I mean, there was a time when I would walk in Chicago, I would walk down a street and on every corner there was somebody begging. I mean, every corner that I reached, there was somebody with their hand out. And I would be the guy who would just, you know, go in my pocket, give a few pennies or give a couple of dollars, you know, and move on. But it was on every corner. I'm saying to myself, if I was, you know, I'd be broke myself. I'd be standing on the corner myself if I gave everybody $2 that I encountered on every corner that I walked. Then I started thinking. I told myself not to do that anymore. If I was going to help these people out, it would not be going into my pocket giving them $2 or $3. It would be giving to the local charities and food pantries who cater to helping those kind of people to get back up on their feet. Because if you're giving someone, if someone's out there sitting on the fire hydrant and begging for money, you give that person $2 or $3, or even maybe $10 or $20, the first thing that person's going to do is run to the liquor store or give it to some pimp or some other person or take it back to the nursing home or whatever. You know, so I've learned, and I see some people look at me like I'm not compassionate when I don't give someone $1 or $2 from my pocket that's standing on a corner begging. I'm just as compassionate as the next person, but I don't want my $2 or $3 going to waste. I don't want my $2 or $3 that I give this person going to liquor, drugs, or, you know, bad food, unhealthy food. So what I do, I give to the local charities, Salvation Army, churches, you know, who do these kinds of things for people who are out there homeless or for people who are out there looking for, you know, trying to elevate themselves up off the ground. But when you're walking down the street and you see somebody sleeping on the ground and they feel like they are comfortable and they like it there, you just walk past them. At least I do, you know, because this person wants to be on the ground. You could give this person $100. The person going to come back the next day is going to be right there on the ground. So that's why I learned. But my point is that we are a helping people. We help each other when people are in trouble, but we don't want to be taken advantage of by people who could have made something better of themselves by reaching down inside of their souls and pulling out that talent and working on that talent and making that talent work for them. You know, but so many people aren't doing that. They're out here, they're not doing it. Their lives are just wasted away. From my standpoint, I'm seeing a lot of people wasting their lives. You know, and then they're criticizing you when you're trying to make something of your life. Okay, this is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm just ranting. It's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday evening here in Chicago, and I hope it's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday where you are, where you are. It is great. It is wonderful. I feel good. I really feel good. And I know people probably are not listening to the show right now because you're out doing things. You're with your family. You're with your friends. You're at the movies. You're out at dinner. You're sewing up the kids' clothes or something. But you can always podcast this show for later, anytime you want. It'll always be there. You can listen to it now. You can listen to it 3 hours from now. You can listen to it a week from now or a month from now. This show will always be available to you. It will. And I want to thank the first-time children's author, Sherry Pope Pate. I mean, she was really something. She knew her craft. She knew what she was talking about. She knew what she was. And I just try to get her to inspire other people who want to be children authors, because there's a lot of people out here who want to write for kids. And that's beautiful. That's great. I have another author on the show, a children's author on the show, tomorrow. Her name is Ashley Carroll. Ashley Ann Carroll. And she's got a book called The Frog and the Butterfly. And it's beautiful. I think it's great. I love children. I like children's books writers. I actually tried to write a children's story once. I didn't quite get it up off the ground. But talking to these ladies will probably inspire me, you know. But, you know, as a writer, I'm always writing. And I want to say something to writers also. If you're writing, keep writing. If you write, if you love what you do, keep at it. If you love what you do, find out how to do it better and do it, you know, because that's what I'm doing. I got about, 3 or 4 projects for 2016. So I probably will not publish anything, at least anything new, until 2015, okay? Because I always try to get something up and going by the start of each year if I can. Okay, and I got a series coming out after I get these projects up. So I'm always working. If I'm not on the radio, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm writing, you know, exactly. If, like I said before, I'm on the radio Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay, the rest of the week I'm probably writing. I'm preparing for the show. I'm being a parent. So things... I want to be on 5 days a week, and I think that would benefit me a lot if I was on 5 days a week, but I just can't be. I mean, you know, 3 days, I'm stretching it by doing three. So I have a lot of projects in the fire also, and that keeps me busy. I like staying busy. I used to tell someone, I like being busy because the busier you are, the faster time goes by, you know. If you're not busy, it seems like time is going to stand still. And you don't want time to stand still. You want time to keep moving, moving, moving. So I have a lot of projects. And it's a possibility. It's a real that I may start my next children's book by talking to these children authors. And that's one of the reasons why I have them on the show, because I want to do a children's book. Like I said before, I had a children's book in the fire, but something happened to it. I think it was rejected. It was rejected by a couple of publishers. I think that's what agents and publishers are. I think agents and publishers are. They're just, and a lot of them like to reject you. And there are some agents out there, and there's some publishers out there. They will reject you just for the thought of just rejecting you. Some will reject you before they even read your script or your manuscript. George Wilder? No, we don't want that. They haven't even read the book or the manuscript. And that not only happens to me, but that happens to a lot of people. So, but don't let that stop you. If a publisher rejects you, I mean, remember, Ernest Hemingway, Danielle Steele, Nora Roberts, all of these people and others have been rejected thousands of times by publishers, but they kept at it until someone accepted their manuscript and liked it, published it, and now they're world-renowned authors. Vince Flynn is one of my favorites. Robert Ludlum, he's one of my favorites. You know, But I just like writing in general, and I love reading. Reading is great. I mean, I don't think you can be a writer, and most writers and authors will attest to this. You have to be a good reader in order to be a good writer. If you try to write and you're not a reader, we're going to know when we go to read your book. You know, so you have to be a writer because you have to be a reader to be a writer. You just can't write. I tell my son that. You have to be a reader. And once you're a reader, you can write. You know, it's all there. It's all there. So this is this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. You can tell by the way I sound. I feel good. I really do. It's a great day. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I can't wait to get out here. After the show is over, I'm going. we're going to go out after the show is over. So even while I'm out and the show is over, you can still hear this show. It'll still be available. You can listen to the author, Sherry Poe Pape. You can listen to her. She's wonderful. She's educated. She's got a book out there. But I kind of differ with her on something. But, you know, I mean, that's just me. I don't think you need a degree to write, you know, because there's a lot of people with degrees, master's degrees, all kind of degrees that can't write. I mean, I'm not saying that they can't read and write, but I'm just saying they can't write a book. You know, they'll tell you they can't write. And then you got people out here with just high school educations who are, you know, tearing up the literary world. You know, so I'm not saying do not get a master's degree or a bachelor's degree in writing. If you feel that's what you want and you can do it, go for it. Go for it. You know, go for it. But I don't really think you really need it. Only thing you need to do to be a writer is to write. That's all you need. And you need people around you that are going to motivate you to write. That's all you need is to write. And don't forget about reading. Those two go hand in hand. For me, if you take myself for instance, I have books all around this place. You know, and when I'm in here, I'm grabbing a book. I'm opening it. You know, and then sometimes when I'm reading a book, it triggers something inside my mind that maybe I can. Sometimes you can play off ideas when you read a book. You know, at least I do. I don't plagiarize, but sometimes reading books will give me ideas for my own book. You know, reading other people's writing because most of the time when I'm reading other folks' work, when I'm reading their writing, I'm always saying to myself, wow, this is better than what I've done. You know, and I want writing to be better writing than what I've done. Because that motivates me to be better, to get better. Each book, each essay, each short story motivates me to be a better writer. If I read authors' pieces are, from my standpoint, better than what I'm doing, if it's better than what I'm doing, then I know I have to do a lot better, you know. And another thing, if you're writing, make sure, do not write and put yourself in the closet or under the bed. Tell somebody what you're doing. Show somebody your work so you can get feedback on it. The more feedback, the more positive feedback that you get on your writing, the more you're going to want to write. Because we all need that motivation to keep going. I mean, we got a million, trillion writers out here that will not write because they feel that writing is a waste of time. There's no money in writing. There's nothing to motivate them to write. What motivates me to write is I love doing it. And I love hearing from people who said that they have enjoyed my work. That's enough for me to keep going. Not how much the paycheck is, if there is one, not how much the paycheck is going to be. I love seeing my work up on Amazon. I love seeing my work up on Barnes and Noble. I love it. I think it's great. And I love it when, like I said, I love when a reader contacts me and say, this was great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your essays. I enjoyed your short stories. I enjoyed your novels, your crime novels. I enjoyed your parenting book. They Are Our Children. I enjoyed that, George. That was good. Some things I didn't agree with, but I enjoyed it. That's a motivation to me to keep going, for me to write my next work. And it's great because every time somebody buys your book, a certain book, it becomes a bestseller. Always add that bestseller of what or the positive reviews to your resume, to your writing resume. That's great. Put it on your website. Put it on your blog. Let people know that your writing is there, because there are so many, like I've talked about this to so many authors, there are so many writers out here. And in order for you to be competitive, you have to be good. You've got to be good at what you write. You got to make sure that there's an audience for it, and you got to go after that audience. That audience is not going to come to you. You have to go to that audience with that book. You got to go find people. People are not going to find you. You have to go find them. Don't sit around and wait for somebody to make your book a bestseller. Do not sit around and wait for somebody to make your book a movie. Do not sit there and wait. Push your book as long as you have it. If your book is 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years old and it's a good book, you push it. Let people know it's there. Let people know they should read it. Let people know the benefits that they're going to get out of it once they bought it, purchased it, downloaded it into their devices. Usually I don't rail about the writing, but I think this is important because I'm having authors on the show, and they're giving their side, and I'm giving my side. And most of the time I agree with them, and they agree with some of the things I say, but that's okay. But you know, you got so many people out there that give up on writing. They give up. They may write an essay or a short story here or an essay there or a novel here, and you don't hear from them. They don't push their book. They don't let you know that their book is out there. And that's wrong. I think that's wrong. I mean, if you're going to do something like that, if you're going to do something like that, you might as well not write. Yeah, I knew a girl once, and she had me thinking that she wanted to be a writer. She would say, George, can you help me write? Can you help me write my autobiography? And, you know, I was gung-ho with helping her write her autobiography, her memoir, her life story. I was gung-ho. I wanted to do that because I felt that she was really serious about wanting to be a writer. She was really serious about wanting her life story out there. But after a while, I found out she wasn't really serious about it. She was just saying something to try to engage me, or saying something to try to pretend like she's on the same page that I am as a writer. She was not serious about it. She had some other, you know, idea about what she was saying. It wasn't about writing. You know, she just used me. I don't know. Maybe she just used me to, you know, come around and feel like she can pull me in with by saying she wanted to be a writer. Because once I told her I was in her office, and I told her, I said, okay, I have no problem with helping you with writing. And she started writing stuff down on the computer, and you know, all of a sudden I said, this is good. It needed editing, but it was good. It was good editing. It would have been great. But then again, she would say, she would write stuff, and then she would take it and put it in the bottom drawer of her desk or the bottom drawer at home. And, you know, she just wasn't serious about it. She didn't want people knowing about her childhood and all that kind of stuff. He thought that was secret and nobody should know anything. But then why do you want to be a writer? To be a writer is to expose yourself, whether fiction or nonfiction. you're exposing who you are as a writer. You know? I mean, it doesn't matter what your life, it doesn't matter about the negativity in your life. Someone over here, their life is even worse than yours. You know, so it doesn't, I think everybody has an autobiography in them. We all do. We all do. You know, from, you know, the time that you were born to the, you know, to the time you were 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, we all have an autobiography in us. We could all write about our experiences and make it dramatic enough where people, ordinary people, would download it and read it and enjoy it. It just hurts my heart when talented people, wonderful people, give up on what they like to do. You don't do that. You don't give up on what you like to do. You don't give up on what you enjoy. You don't let other people take you down, because they're only taking you down because they are failures themselves and they want to see you fail. Don't let other people fail for you. Don't let them do it. They will try it. They will laugh. They will joke. They will lie. They will try to make you feel really, really small. Break away from those kind of people. Get the negative people out of your life. Because if you do not get them out of your life, they will ruin your life. And they will walk away laughing. Don't let them do it. So if you want to write, it's not just writing. Basically, it's anything that you want to do. Anything you want to do, anything that you want to lift yourself, anything that you want to lift your life up, anything that's going to lift your life up. The negative people, get them out of your life. You know, because they're going to always be there. They're going to always be there. They're going to laugh at you, crazy. They're going to call you stupid. They're going to call you dumb. They're going to call you a liar. But always do what you want to do. Do what you love. And if it's writing, no matter what it is, if it's teaching, if it's driving a bus, if it's being a radio host, if it's being a waitress, if it's being an entrepreneur of some sort, do what you love. Do what your heart tells you. Do what you know how to do. And share that with others. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. But the first thing we have to do is get the negativity out of our life and be proactive. Be proactive. Okay, this is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is still light. I believe it's about 65 degrees here, and that's great. It's a sign of spring. That's all it is. It's a sign of spring. I'm going to take a break right here, get a drink of water, and I will be right back. All righty, here we go. Be right back. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Yeah, here I am. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for podcasting the show. Thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for embedding this show into your website or your blog so that you will have it. I'm especially talking about the authors that have been on the show. Make sure you embed the show into your blog, and you always have it because it's your show. It's your show. Okay, so I, George Wilder Jr., I had a cramp here. Forgive me. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, broadcasting live from Chicago. And it is beautiful. It's beautiful. The weather is so beautiful. I don't know. I just have to keep saying it all the time. The weather is so, so beautiful. Okay, let's talk about this governor. I just can't say enough about this guy. Most of the things I say about him is negative, and most of the things people feel and think about him around Chicago and around the state, negative. Because now this guy, I think I talked about this this issue in a show about a day or so ago. If you podcasted, you might hear that show that I've also lambasted this guy over. So all these cuts, you know, to the state. How can you make a state more viable or better by making devastating and unheard of cuts that's going to impact people and that's going to impact the economy? How could you make cuts? But you know what? These Republicans, they don't care. They don't have a heart. They don't care. I mean, he wants to take the money away for this and that. Children, the elderly, I mean, the indigent, you know. Okay, here we go. Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner has decided the state will no longer help pay for poor people's funerals to reduce a $1.6 billion budget shortfall. So what do we do with these people? If you're yanking funding away from burial and funeral of people who are poor, then when these people die off, what do? Let them just rot out here in the street? You know, I mean, that's going to be bad. That's going to, that's not only bad, but the smell will be bad also. The Illinois Funeral and Burial Benefits Program cost the state $9.5 million in the 2014 year fiscal year. The state won't reimburse indigent residents for funerals and burials after January 15th, according to the Illinois Department of Human Services. So the state will refuse to reimburse indigent residents for funerals and burials after January 15th, according to the program will be discontinued. Oh, man, that's something, right? Okay. Discontinued altogether next year as a part of a wide range of social services and public health cuts. I mean, he's tearing the state apart. I mean, you cut all of these programs from these agencies. Where are these people going to wind up? They're going to wind up right here on the streets. If people can't, if the state is not allowing poor people, when they die, to be buried, where are you going to put them? You can't put them in the morgue's got to get rid of them. They can't stay in the morgue. You know, the family's going to want to see their loved ones buried. I mean, this guy is just off his rocker. And he has, like I said, he has no compassion. So the only thing I can see here is that the people of Illinois has got to rise up against this guy. He is only one person. And we are the 99 percenters. We can make this guy change his mind and, you know, we put that funding back into that budget so these people can be buried. It's going to be a mess. You can't bury your... As a talk show host, sometimes I just get so... I mean, sometimes I can't believe some of the stuff that I, you know, that's coming down and hitting people in the face just because they didn't vote or they didn't vote the right way. I voted the right way. So I'm suffering because of other people who did not vote the right way or who did not vote at all. Wow. They're always saying we needed to make tough choices to balance the budget. There's other ways they could make tough choices instead of always on the backs of poor people, always on the backs of those who are struggling. Anytime these guys want to go balance their budget, they go to social programs. They go to health programs. They go to public health programs. They're going to Medicaid. They go to Medicare. They're going to cut the pensions. They're going to cut Social Security. You know, this is going to happen. And the people who are getting these things cut are the ones who voted for this guy. They voted for him, and now he's going to cut their heads off. They will know next time not to vote for someone like this. Bruce Rauner doesn't care. He tries to appear in public. When he appears in public, he tries to appear like he's compassionate. He does. He tries to appear like he's your best friend. And by the things that he's doing, the things that he alone is implementing, totally is not friendly. Now, he went to view the tornado devastation down here in Fairdale. I believe it's Fairdale, Illinois. And all he can say is what we already know. That it's a bad situation. Okay? And now I don't know if he's cutting funding for tornado relief. I have no idea. It's possible. He's cutting everything else. And then after he cut stuff, like I said, after he cut these programs, public, like he's compassionate, like he's been compassionate. And we all know, everybody know in this state who are loving and caring, we know that he is not compassionate. We know that. We know that. And politicians always say that we've got to make the tough choices. We're going to make the tough choices. We're going to do things that are tough. But they never give you details of those tough choices that they have to make. It's always tough choices. Tough choices of what? What are you going to do? We know what they're going to do once they get into office. Terrible. Like Pat Quinn said, the former governor of Illinois, like he once said, if we'd have known about Bruce Rauner, if people had known about Bruce Rauner, what he actually was going to do to the state, he would have never gotten elected. That is the truth. People would have got their asses out and voted, or people would have got their asses out and voted the right way. Personally, I voted the right way. I'm just here. I voted the right way. I'm benefiting from the people who did not vote the right way. So negatively, I'm benefiting, and other people are too. Most of the people out here who voted the right way were overshadowed by the people who decided not to vote the right way. You know, they voted against their interests. Like I've said many times in previous shows, people vote against their interests. And now they're crying in their own soup because they're afraid that they're going to lose their job. Funding is going to be cut for this program. They're going to be out in the streets. They voted for this guy, and he turned on them. He turned against them. But it's nothing they can do because I believe he's in for 6 years. I would like to think that I'm wrong because 6 years of this guy is just going to be a mess, a total mess. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. If you cannot listen to the show right now, just download it, podcast it. It will be there on my website, www.blogtalkradio.com/George Wilder Jr. The shows are always there. They're always available. And most of my shows are pretty damn good. And that's one of the things I want to tell people. If you think you're good at something, shout it out from the nearest tree, the nearest mountain, the nearest corner, the nearest computer. People know that you are good at what you do. People don't want to hear, to be around or to listen to people who are not sure if they're good or not. People don't want to be around people who are not good at nothing. People like being, talking, and chatting with those who are successful. Success breeds success. Success loves success. Success does not like failure. That does not go hand in hand. If you're good at something, brag about it. Oh, there are going to be some people, oh, he's bragging about what he's doing. Well, if you're bragging, if he's bragging, then he must be good at what he's doing. You know, I mean, if you know you're good at something, I'm going to say this again, if you know you're good at something, let other people know that you're good at it also. Because, like I said before, people love other people who are successful. And like I said before, everybody out here, at the sound of my voice, as far as I can see, we all have talent inside of us. I see so many people who walk down the street, or I know many people who act as if they're just totally talentless. They don't have, excuse me, they act as if they have no talent at all. I can't do that, George. I don't know. If you don't know, then I don't know, then, you know, that's it. But I can tell you one thing. If I'm good at something, I'm going to say I'm good at it. And I don't need a million people to tell me that. I just listen to one of my radio shows, and I'll say, wow, I'm good. I'm pretty good, especially a radio show with a guest for that time. Because the guest is going to say, hey, he was pretty good. I haven't had a guest on this show to say that I was rotten. Well, that may be coming, but so far, right now, I haven't had that. You know, most of the guests say, hey, wow, and a couple of guests I'm having back. So they were just that good on this show. Some guests to call back because some listeners requested that guest be back on that show. And with that guest coming back on that show, you know, your ratings will go up. More listeners, you know, more commercial time and all that kind of stuff. So you have to be good at what you do. If you're not good at what you do, then don't do it. You know, because you don't want other people to think that you're a failure. But if you are good at what you do, brag about it. Let people know about it. If you got a service or product you want to get out, and you're an entrepreneur, tell people that it's good. Tell people why they should buy your product. Why your product is better than those other products over there. And it's 1,000 of them. As I go back to talking about my book or an author's book, our books, as an individual writer, you know, I know that when I write a book, I'm competing with every book out there. I don't care if it's nonfiction, fiction, what genre it is. If it's a book, then I'm competing with it. You know, and I have to let people know that my book is out there, that my book is a good book, and you should read my book, you should download it, you should pay for it. But you have to let people know it's there. I don't care if your book is 5 or 10 years old. If you think it's a good book, push it. Push it. You know what I'm saying? Let people know, hey, wow, this is a great book. It's It's a bestseller. People bought it. Check it out. And one of the things I like about Kindle, you can always, if you published on Kindle, if you have a book published on Kindle and they're on Amazon, one of the things about it, you can always unpublish that book, update that manuscript, and republish it. That's what I like. You can always update it and republish that book. And that's what I'm going to do with a book that I'm working on now. I'm going to republish it under a different name and put it back up there for reasons I won't say here. But get the negative people out of your life, because they're always going to be there. And keep writing, keep writing, keep writing. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I'm practically off the air. And like I said, tomorrow I have another guest on the show, and she also is a children's book author. This should be interesting. Like I said, one day, out of the blue, I'm going to become a children's book author. But maybe just one book. I don't think I'm going to do any sequels or any part one, part two, and that kind of thing. Just one children's book would be enough for me. We'll see. We will see. We will see. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm practically off the air, and my number is 347-857-1762. Write it down, write it down. Call me tomorrow. Looks like I'm off the air. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being here. You guys are wonderful. You guys are beautiful. You guys, bye-bye. Another great show has come to an end. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you for podcasting the show for your listening pleasure later. I'm on the air 3 days a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, for 90 minutes each day, starting at 6 p.m. The reason why I call the show great, because it makes me feel great. I enjoy doing it. See you next time. Bye.